Bibles to our scripture reading for today, our text for message, John chapter 17. We've been looking the last 2 weeks, and this is the third week of Jesus giving us the templates for prayer, how to pray, the things that we should pray for one another. We looked first of all at template for ourselves, how to pray for ourselves. And that template is chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Last week, we looked at the template of prayer for those that are committed and join us in working together for God, verses 6 to 19. And today, we're going to look at verses 20 to 26 of John chapter 17, how to pray for new believers, for all believers. In fact, we're going to talk about all believers working together and how important that is. So let us turn to that section of Scripture, John chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 20 to 26 in the NIV version, and you can follow along in whatever version you'd like. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Please follow with me if you would. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you will speak to us and teach us from your word today, Lord, how to pray in a more effective way for one another, that we may glorify you, that, Father God, we may be more useful for your kingdom as servants in your service. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The template for all believers to finish this section off is that, first of all, that all believers will join the committed believers. That's what Jesus says in verse 20 here to us. My prayer is not for them alone. It's not for the committed believers alone. This was the section just before this. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus' prayer is that the message that goes out from the committed believers in the churches around the world will go out and that people will believe in that message, that the message will stay true and stay strong, and people will believe in Jesus Christ because of the message we as committed believers put out in that world. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be committed to putting the message out in the world. I was watching a movie with my wife last night. It's a movie that was in theaters, a Christian movie. Have you noticed in the last few years, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, how many Christian movies are starting to get into the theaters? And we need to be thankful that that's happening. I've watched several of them, and they're very, very powerful. And Christian movies, originally when they started coming out, they were kind of hokey and, you know, subpar. But they're starting to get up there. This one had a whole assortment of famous actors in it. And it's called Do You Believe? Anybody see that? Put your hand up if you saw the movie Do You Believe? It was incredible. It was about a pastor who's driving at night, and this man comes. He's carrying a cross across the street. And he's trying to portray, everyone's, you know, kind of staying away from him, thinking he was some fanatical Christian who was trying to impose his will on them. But what he was trying to portray was, do you believe in the cross, the message of what Jesus did at the cross? And he's asking people with this visual of carrying a cross himself across the street, do you believe? Do you believe in what Jesus did, that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that he rose again, that he took the penalty for us in our place? Do you believe in that message? And this pastor was jolted. He was affected by that. And he went and he put a cross down on the pew, hundreds of crosses in his church. So when people sat down, they would sit down and pick up this cross. And the visual of it was, take that home and make sure that you are portraying this week the message of what Jesus did on the cross. Somehow, in your workplace, in your home, where you walk and where you go, make sure that the message of the cross is presented. And you and I are, as committed believers, are to go into the world and we are to reach people for Jesus Christ. The onus is on us. We are to carry out God's work to for people to understand the message of the cross, the power of it for them, that it can save them too. And it just went through, the rest of the movie is really about scenarios where people would do that, where they would incorporate and put the message of the cross forward and reach out to people in a very, very loving, caring, but effective way, a determined way, if you will. And I think this is what Jesus is saying. My prayer is not for the committed disciples alone that follow me and are integrally put into the work of God, as many of you here are, but that the message will go out, that people will believe in the message. The message of Jesus also goes on, and the template here for all believers is that all of them may be one, the next phrase. I find that new believers have a real difficult time transitioning into the heart of the church. There are many different reasons for it. They believe the message. They hear it and they accept it. They understand their sinfulness and they ask for repentance before God. And that is a very powerful, powerful moment in their life. But to become incorporated into the church, to be accepted and utilized, is a whole different thing. There needs to be oftentimes a radical change in lifestyle, a radical change in how we perceive and make decisions, the people that we associate with, the environment that we spend time in, how we choose our words and our thought patterns, all of it changes. And what we need to do with believers, I believe, is we need to come alongside of them and encourage them slowly but effectively to begin to let God change them as God will. And the problem for us oftentimes is we have a certain image of what that looks like and we force it upon new believers. And many new believers almost run from the church. It may seem too radical, those changes. They may be imposed and demanded the change too quickly. We need, as believers, to be very careful when we have new believers coming among us that we love them, that we come alongside of them, and if they are seeking to change their way to become more godlike, to encourage them. When they take a step back, still to be there, to stay in touch with them, to come alongside of them, help pick them up and bring them back in. We need to continue to do that until they get on their feet and become more and more a part of the family. I like this church. One of the things that you have going for you is that every week you have something right after the service at the meal downstairs together where you invite anybody that comes to join you. It's a wonderful tool for which you as a church can just bring people in and help people to understand, hey, We're all one. We're together. We want you to join us. Every church has different ministries where they do the same thing. We did it once a month where we would have food before the service. And we did it for, I think, about 12 years or so as a church. And it was an amazing thing. There are some churches that do community things, community events and barbecues and sports events, things like that. There are so many different ways we can do it, but we need to put work and time and effort in. And there's some of you, I think Bob's doing the food downstairs today. He's also taking care of the kids. I don't know if you knew that. But you need to realize that it's going to take work. And some of you are being called upon to truly be hands-on and dig into your pocket and your time, most certainly. Get your hands dirty, and we need to go to work in order to facilitate ministries like this that include people, that bring people in. The importance of that is ultimately so that we may all be one. And look at what Jesus says. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. The model is that we are to be one with new believers coming in and joining the committed believers, just as the Father and the Son are one. Now, that's a pretty intricate type of oneness, isn't it? The Son is the direct image, the full representation of the Father. Would you say that of the new believers that come into the church, that they are the full representation of the church, the whole church? I think we've got a long way to go. I think all of us would be willing to concede that. We need to bring people in and do it in a way in which it shows the entire plethora of what our church is and allows for people to see it. And the reason that's important is because the committed believers may portray that, but if those that are joining and seeking as new believers to come in don't portray that, ultimately the message is not going to be nearly as effective. If you have your new believers coming in and joining and being incorporated and being accepted and the committed believers being close to them and having personal relationships and encouraging them continuously in the ups and the downs, you are going to find that the world will not be able to deny that message. They will be looking at what the church is doing and saying, that church is doing an effective thing in people's lives, and it is undeniable. And that is the best. That is the best commercial you can have for your church. That is the best way you can advertise how powerful the church is and how powerful God is in your church. Let's keep going. It says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May those new believers also be joined with the committed believers so the world will believe that Jesus was sent by the Father, that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is God's Son. The message you're going to find today often goes back to that. It's so that we will understand who God is. The church, in essence, becomes a microcosm, a small picture of the relationship of the Father and the Son, and we've got to understand that we are portraying Jesus in the world. And for many people, the only effect, the only picture of Christ they may have is you. You at the workplace. You in the lineup when everybody else is going crazy. I don't know, have you been watching the Olympics so far? A little bit of it? Yeah. You notice the crazy lineups yesterday? That the country of Brazil is doing its best. You can see them straining and bending and maybe breaking a little bit. And apparently many people were in lineups for like 5, 6, 7 hours because they're trying to do proper full security, and they're very new at it. And I like the way that the head of the security, he said, look, give us time. This is our first time doing a worldwide event with hundreds of thousands of people in our city and trying to, number one, keep everybody safe, right? That is the number one concern. And just bear with it. This is the first day. And sure enough, by the afternoon, they were saying it was a lot better and people were getting to their venues on time and things like that. But we need to be careful. We need to be patient. And I'm so glad that the Olympics actually were there. To me, I think it's great to incorporate everybody in the world and in the athletics of the world and bring people together from all over. I have a friend at a job that I do on the side who was there for 2 years, and he said it is one of the most beautiful places in the world. Sure, there's crime and corruption and poverty and you know horrible pollution all over the place, but it is God's creation, and it is if when you go there, it's a stunning place to be. We need to pray. I hope you're praying for the Olympics. I pray every day for the people at the Olympics, for the whole situation there, that terrorism and crime and all the things that can come in and Zika virus and all the different things we get laden with from the media, that God would watch over that entire scenario and all the events that are taking place. Let's continue on. So not only is the template for all believers that they join the committed, but secondly, in verse 22, it's that they radiate God's glory. Verse 22, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This is new believers. I have given them the glory that you gave me. New believers, just as much as those of us that are committed, are radiating God's glory. Do you believe that? Once you pray the prayer, once you invite Jesus into your life, from that moment on, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And as a new believer, you must realize the new responsibility you have. You have now become an ambassador for Jesus. That's the way the world is going to look at you. So whether you like it or not, whether you are having trouble changing your life patterns, whether you're having difficulty in changing your mindset and how you think and who you associate with and what environments you're in, you are now an ambassador of Jesus. You are radiating God's glory. Now, we have many of us who have been committed believers for a long time, and we're still not satisfied with how well we radiate God's glory. I'm one of those people. I'm not nearly satisfied. There's so many better ways that we can radiate God's glory. There's so many more powerful ways you and I could individually, in every instance of having relationships in the world, be better, aren't there? I bet you could think of 3 or 4 times, even this past week, if you looked back. And you know what? I should have said that differently. I should have given God the glory in this situation. I didn't do that. I should have helped that person. I saw them there. They were sitting alone. I was busy, and I didn't even bother asking if they needed help. You can think of many situations, even in this past week, can't you, where you could have done better to radiate God's glory. People are looking at us. You really don't have a choice in the matter. If you've become a believer, the spotlight is now on you. So as a new believer, don't you want to make sure, if that spotlight is on you, that you're doing everything you can to align yourself with God, with His love, with the way He wants you to make choices and live your life and be representative of Him? Don't you want that? Radiate the glory of God. The third thing Jesus says, He says, I and in them, you and me. Again, He goes back to the whole Father-Son relationship being the model for us to follow. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Look at that. It's going back to the unity part. We are to be united. New believers, committed believers, coming together, complete. May they be brought to complete unity. Now, the idea there is brought whether they like it or not. I think that's usually the problem on the part of the committed believers. The older I get as a believer, the more I kind of am staid in how I like it. Have you noticed that with you? There's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're staid in the godly things, you think to yourself, well, that's the way I want it to be like this. I want it to look like this. The problem is when we demand that everybody else that comes in and starts and joins us looks exactly the same as that. I think that the only thing that you and I can demand from each other over the years as believers is the fundamental basics be exactly the same. That we all love Jesus. That we believe in the Trinity. That we all work together to strive to put the message in the world and encourage people to come. That we all hate evil. That we all love what is good and what God wants us to do and strive for it. The fundamentals. Be as steady and structured as you can in those things and settled. But on pretty well anything else, you and I need to be willing to allow for variation. Allow for change. Allow for somebody who may have a different idea. Not demand, for instance, that everybody come to church have a certain hair length, a certain kind of outfit, a certain look to them. That's not a spiritual qualification. We need to be accepting and loving, and we need to open up a little bit of the things that we've perhaps put in our box of the way we like it. And say, you know what, I'm comfortable in this, but I've got to be a little more comfortable and give some more variation on a fair bit of the other. I'm reminded of this with music. I like pretty well any music, and I've really opened it up over the years. My boys have really gotten into music. I have four sons, and they're all musical, and they love listening to music, and they've actually gotten me into music. When I was young, I didn't listen to a lot of music, but now I'm listening to more and more of it. And my son wants to keep putting on a rap group. Now, he's a Christian, and he knows, you know, there's Christian rap too. But there's this one group that he keeps putting on. I said to him, Joe, this is my youngest son, I'll only put that on if it has certain of my criteria in it. There can't be swearing. There can't be hatred of whatever, you know. It's got to fit within certain parameters. So he goes through, and we listen to it together, and some of them are excellent. It's talking about changing and being you know, conscientious and loving people and that type of thing. And I'm listening to it, and he'll skip from song 1 to song 7, song 14 to song 21. And he goes, Dad, those are the ones that the criterion that you've said you're okay with that work. That I'm not even going to put on the other songs. And that's what we've come to. I'm now listening to some of this particular type of music that I never listened to before in my years. And I need to realize, okay, I can't just close off completely something. I've got to be careful and be wise and within what I believe is our important values. Be able to expand out the other things. And we need to look for ways. That's just one of many, many ways that we need to be able to incorporate. We will incorporate new believers much more and in a much more open fashion if we don't limit as much as we are the things that we've boxed in over time and over our history as a believer. In order to be brought to complete unity, it's not natural. It's not easy to be brought to unity. It's something that you've got to work at. And this is the idea in the Greek here, to be brought to. It's a working towards. It's hard work being a Christian. I believe that if you're not working hard, you're not a very good Christian. You should be working hard at least cleaning up your own life throughout your life, right? There's enough cleaning that we have just here, right? Without having to clean up the messes anywhere else. It's work, and you need to be willing to get up every day and put in the work in order to be brought to complete unity. New believers, committed believers, older in the faith believers, most likely, but bringing it all together, right? That's the way it's going to happen. We work at it. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. Those that you've given me to be with me where I am. We as need to look to these new believers, and the template in prayer for them is that they may be with Jesus where he is. We need to pray for new believers, that they will realize the importance, maybe the best way to verbalize it, to realize the importance of adapting and changing their environment to be closer to Jesus. Those of us that are committed believers, if we've got, have been committed for any length of time, know that we have had to adapt our environments in order to get closer to Jesus. You're going to need to change habits if you're a new believer. You will have habits that, even if you read the Bible, directly contradict what God wants you to do, how he wants you to live. So you need to work on that. You will need to change your friendships. Your relationships with people, the people that have influence in your life, the people you spend time with, you will need to change those things. Some of us, even as committed believers, are still working on our relational milieu, the people that we hang out with. Your friends have influence on you. You will become like your closest friends. They will have that kind of effect upon you. So you need to choose your friends that are going to make you draw closer to Jesus. You're going to have to choose perhaps an occupation. I know people that have been in occupations that contradict what the Word of God says directly. Some people have been involved in illegal operations. You will need to stop that. You will need to align your life. You will need to align your environment, your lifestyle, all of it, so that it drives you, as the word here says, to be with Jesus where he is. That is your goal as a Christian, to be with Jesus where he is. And we need to pray for new believers particularly, that they will seek to be with Jesus where he is. One of the reasons I really encourage new believers to come to church is because it offers them a direct link to be with Jesus where he is. Jesus is here with us. We sing, praise, and glorify him. He comes and he is with us. Amen? That's why we're here. That's why you've wasted your time. Put your time in to be here because you believe Jesus is here and you want to gather together with other people who are doing the same thing. That's why we're here. So you've already taken a step, if you're a new believer, to be with Jesus where he is. If you walk into a church and hang out, you may feel different. You may feel you don't know anybody. You're not part of the inside, all that kind of stuff. But if you just go to church, you are already taking that step to be with Jesus where he is. Good on you. A lot of people don't to even take that step. I know people, new Christians, and they're just trying to eke it out on their own. And I have yet to see a new Christian not get involved in church and be successful as a new believer and grow spiritually. I've yet to see it in all my years. The Bible tells us we're supposed to meet together. We're supposed to encourage each other. We're supposed to sing songs of praise and edification. Why? Because it helps us to grow. It cements in and confirms the things that we are stumbling and grappling with. And we talk with each other and communicate with each other and get a worldview of how to reach our community and environment and the changes that we make in our life. It all comes because we gather together and encourage each other. And Jesus wants us to be where he is. And this is a start, isn't it? To be where he is. And to see my glory, Jesus says, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. We get to see Jesus' glory. We get to see it when we walk into church, when we sing some of these songs of the faith, don't we? You listen to some of those words, church's one foundation is, and it starts right off at the top, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We get to see the glory of God. We get to see how vast and powerful and great he is. We see Jesus. He was here 33 years. Went on the cross and died for us. We see how much, how great God is. We get to see Jesus' glory. Glory that the Father had given him because he loved him before the creation of the world. Remember, we need to remember that the Godhead was together in creation and before creation. It all was there. And the glory of God's power is just being spread out and made clear for us by what he created. And anybody that's involved in higher sciences and astronomy and astrophysicists, the higher you get, the more you realize how glorious everything is. It's way bigger than we ever comprehend the universe to be. Millions of solar systems, and we can't even get to the end of our solar system. God's glory. Wow. Finally, verse 25. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. I believe Jesus is saying here the template for all believers is that they may just know Jesus more. And make him known. I hope that's your goal as a new believer and as a committed believer over many, many years. To know Jesus more. Strive to know him more. The danger for new believers is they should want to know Jesus more. They're hungry. They don't know much about Jesus. They should want to know more. But for us that are committed believers, we got to be careful because sometimes we're like, you know, I think I know pretty close to enough about Jesus. I'm pretty satisfied. That is a dangerous, dangerous place to stand. You become complacent, the devil just sneaks up behind you and starts playing with your head. He starts making you do things you didn't think and reacting in ways you didn't think you'd react, and have an attitude that you never thought you'd slowly. My wife sometimes will come up to me and say, hey, honey, do you realize how negative you're becoming in just some of those words you just said? What am I doing? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Why am I getting resentful or embittered in any way, shape, or form? Are you kidding me? We have no right to do that. We are to strive to know Jesus more and become more like him. That is our goal. That is what we should all be striving for. And we should be really praying for new believers that they just keep that at the forefront of what they are striving towards. To know Jesus, to understand him more and be more like him. And you and I should all. This is a great way to end this entire section. The template for prayer, really, is that you and I would just want to be closer to Jesus. The be-all and end-all of the rest of our lives. Be more like Jesus and look forward to being with him. I look forward to being with him more and more, even though I'm enjoying many parts of life, and those of you that know me know. But we want to know Jesus more and be more like him and want to be with him ultimately. So there we have it. Jesus templates for prayer, template prayer for ourselves, template of prayer for the committed believers, and now the template of prayer for all believers, new believers joining the committed. Let's strive to listen to God's word. Take these to heart. Let's pray. Lord, your word is powerful. We are thankful that we can be in a day and an age where we can read it freely in the country, openly. We can openly proclaim you, and you call us, Lord, to pray for all believers that they would join us, that they would radiate God's glory, that they would bring to complete unity or be brought to complete unity with those that are have been following you for many years, that they strive to be with Jesus where Jesus is, that they see Jesus' glory, and that they know strive to know Jesus more and be like him. Lord, this is our prayer too, for all of us. So we ask that you'd help us to do this in a more effective way, recognizing that these insights from you, from Jesus, from the example he gives, are there to encourage us, to help us grow, help us be more like you until that day we come into your presence. We look forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen.